In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's a quick look at this week's Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 through 9. It reads like this. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to tell you straight off that this is not my favorite passage of Scripture. First, there were the prophets, like Ezekiel, men appointed by God throughout Old Testament history to speak his word to the people, to warn them of sin, and to tell them that the Savior was coming. When the Savior, Jesus, came, the line of prophets ended with John the Baptist, and they were replaced by the apostles called and sent by Christ himself to make disciples of all nations. They didn't make it to all nations in their lifetimes, so God calls pastors to carry out the apostolic ministry today. All of that is to say this. God's word to Ezekiel in this text is far more to me as a pastor than to you, unless you're a pastor too. And this is law. It's stern law. The job of a pastor is to warn the wicked that their sin will lead to death. If a pastor fails to do this, then two things happen. The wicked die in their sin, and the pastor faces God's wrath for failing to do what God commanded him to do. Let me tell you, warning the wicked of their sin is a drag. I mean, I could not imagine that a doctor would enjoy telling a patient that he's terminally ill, but I don't think the patient usually gets angry with the doctor for giving him the news. Patients usually want to know if there's a chance at a cure, or at least if there's a way to extend life. I'm pretty sure that no such patient starts yelling at the doctor that cancer is actually a good thing, and the doctor has no idea what he's talking about. Doctors and patients usually get along. Telling a sinner that needs to repent of his wickedness often doesn't really go like that. The wicked often are not interested in the news, or a cure, or any sort of healing. They'd rather stick with the sin and make the pastor miserable. So, I get why pastors get discouraged, and I get why many leave the ministry. Shoot, as many of you know, I'm in Boise because I was run from my first congregation by a group that was hostile to the Word of God. I'd like to say that my work in that parish was wise and courageous, but the truth is more like I was too naive and dumb to realize how the odds were stacked against me. Thanks be to God that He makes good use of fools. At any rate, Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 through 9. It's not my favorite text because every time I hear it, the Lord doesn't give much wiggle room to pastors when it comes to their calling. And there are days when you just don't want to climb back into the saddle. Of course, it is entirely possible that my sinful flesh is being unreasonable and keeping me from the fact that the Lord is giving us better news here in Ezekiel 33. So here's some better news. The Lord makes Ezekiel a watchman for Israel. By the time Ezekiel is around, the 10 tribes are long gone, and Judah is on the brink of destruction. The cause of disaster is no mystery. God's chosen people have chosen to reject him, and they turn to idols, along with all sorts of abominable worship practices. Even now, though, God still sends a prophet. Even now, He wants His word to be heard, His word of life. And that's the next thing about this text. The Lord commands Ezekiel to warn the wicked. But why? So that they might turn from their wickedness and live. He doesn't send prophets to say, you're going to hell and you can't be helped. He sends prophets to say, there's still time. You're dead in your sin, but you can still live by the grace of God. He sends them throughout the Old Testament to remind the people of his promises that the Savior is coming to redeem them from sin. Prophets are never sent to proclaim only doom, as if their speaking brings it about. Doom is going to happen if they don't speak. Prophets are sent to proclaim life, warning sinners away from sin and death to the life that God has to give them. Prophets have the task of proclaiming God's word, and that word gives life. No word of God, no life. No life, then there is only death. That's why a silent prophet, or a prophet who doesn't speak of sin and grace, is less than useless. He actually does harm because he's not giving out the life that God has sent him to give. That's true for the prophets. That's true for the apostles. It's true for pastors. And it's also true for congregations. The Lord still gives out his word to be spoken, which means that the Lord hasn't given up on sinners. The Lord works repentance and faith by means of his word. If his word is no longer proclaimed, then there's no repentance and faith. This makes the faithfulness of pastors and congregations so very important. And it also makes it a great honor and privilege. In his work of salvation, the Lord uses our voices to proclaim his holy word. Will all be happy to hear it? No. Will some? Yes, because the word never returns empty. Will we suffer for speaking the word? Perhaps. But everybody faces suffering sooner or later. And you've got to admit that getting grouped in with Jesus is one of the better reasons for suffering. It's sad that so many pastors and congregations in Christendom today have sort of pocket-vetoed the gospel, not by denying it, but by delivering messages that aren't about sin and grace, that aren't law and gospel, that don't deliver forgiveness and salvation. But that message is still what God gives to his people to say. Not just because sinners are sinful, but because the grace and salvation won by Christ by his death and resurrection is still available to sinners. And it will be until Christ returns in glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant to us, your humble servants, your holy inspiration, that we may set our minds on the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. All praise to you, O Lord, for you still send out your saving word. Give us faith to speak it boldly, trusting that by your gospel you still offer life to the lost. And grant us ears to hear your word, that we may remain turned from our wickedness and alive in your Son, our Savior, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Rejoice, my friends. The Lord still speaks his word of life to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.